everybody. Welcome to Cop Out, the podcast that is going to deliver the goods when your goods happen to be related to buddy cop movies. Vis-a-vis, which buddy cop movie is the best? We'll find out for you. Tune in. This isn't a buddy cop movie. It's called Cop Out. The show isn't called Buddy Cop Movies. It's called Cop Out. Whoa.
It's all Copland.
I wasn't recording.
No, I'm kidding. You're right. Sorry, I am your intrepid host, Mike Trainer, one of three intrepid hosts, because it would be weird if I was just here hosting a party.
Hey, guys, it's Brandon. I'm more of a Stratus host. You see what I did there?
No.
Oh, intrepid is a type of dodge.
Oh, type of dodge. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I have lots of jokes for you guys today. Welcome to my living room. Let's sit down, have a glass of whiskey, and chat.
Let's get into it.
All right. I guess I'm the guest, because you got two hosts.
Permanent guest. Permanent guest.
There were three hosts.
Yeah, but who are we? Oh, yeah, because this is something people are going to listen to. That's how podcasts work.
Well, in theory. someone will listen to this.
To the two fans we have left after five episodes, thank you for your faithful listening.
Five eps, guys.
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you?
Oh, I'm Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How's it going?
Hey, this is a safe space.
What kind of host are you?
Let's see.
We talked about this.
We did, actually.
We had a talk about what our roles were on the show.
I raise questions.
Are you the caravan host?
K-car.
Oh, Dodge, yeah.
Okay. Multi-platform.
That was actually my first car.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wood handling?
Had that like nice little long bench seat in the front and back.
Yeah.
And I actually got it from my grandparents. So when it backed up, it made this bird sound. It was like a little backup birdie. It was like, meow, 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 meow. It was awesome.
I think that those only came from grandparents.
Yeah.
I think even grandparents got them from grandparents. So I don't know how that.
I'm a Dodge Charger because I never carry cash.
No. You're in the trap.
So, we didn't come here to talk about Dodge cars.
Oh.
Sorry, Steve.
Mike, we need to know who our sponsor is first.
Our sponsor, hey, you want to ship a car but they don't have a stamp? Go to stamps.com. They got scales. That probably could fit a Dodge Stratus on it if you wanted to. Get four just in case, one for each tire. And then just go to stamps.com. You want to wait in the fucking line like a goddamn chump? Like a goddamn chump? You ever go to a post office? No, because you're better than that. Have some self-respect and go to stamps.com. Look at me. Look at me, Sheila. Go to stamps.com. And stop doing this to yourself. I believe in us. But, you know, if you're gonna walk around still feeling like the glory days of high school are here, they're not. They're past. We're a couple that goes to stamps.com and deals with our shit. Stamps.com.
Deal with your shit.
Deal with your shit. Use the microphone icon at the top of the page and write Cop Out, Episode 5. And when nothing happens, email stamps.com and saying, I have this promo code that's supposed to get me free stamps specifically for mailing Dodge Chargers, and it is not working. And they will give you something, or else you will send another letter that is equally angry saying, give me that discount. I need three scales for the price of one, and then I'll buy that other one. So it's really two get two free when you think of it.
No, stamps.com is not our sponsor. It's track phone prepaid minute cards.
Prepaid minute. Are you a drug dealer or want to feel like a drug dealer? Then, hey, stop pulling out your own teeth and get a one-off phone. You know, just have some self-respect, Sheila. This isn't high school, all right? You're not on the volleyball team anymore. No one respects your underhand serve, okay? What they respect is someone who can mail drugs and then see if those drugs were shipped through a one-hop phone that you will then disconnect wire style and throw in the trash and then throw that trash in the gutter and then watch that gutter go down the drain of the sewer and then say, are you there? Are you there, Ninja Turtles? Why don't you clean up the streets? Me, Sheila, ex-volleyball champ, now adult who respects herself. We're talking about another stakeout here. God damn it, that's too long.
They paid for a lot of airtime.
They are very generous.
Oh my god.
They will find out.
I actually have a nice $5 bill in my wallet because of that. So thank you, Mike.
Another Stakeout is a sequel to the movie Stakeout, which I didn't watch.
I haven't seen it.
I think I've seen it like a long time ago, but I don't remember anything about it, especially after seeing this movie.
Perfect. Let's jump right in. to the Vegas opening. And for the audiences, for the lot, okay, I like the two. But for the audience's knowledge, we took a bit of a, well, they probably know because of the distance between shows. But,
yeah.
It's probably been a month since I've seen this. I took killer notes, guys.
Yeah. Mike is surviving nipple surgery.
I had nipple surgery to cure my mono, which I had while watching this movie. So I liked it on a level that probably most people didn't. I remember being like, this is great. This is the one thing that's bringing me joy right now. Steve was there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So it was definitely just the movie.
Like it is.
Let's do it. Vegas opening. Now.
So.
Guys. That plays a slot machine, doesn't even shit.
Yes.
Because now we know he's a badass. Boom. That's how this movie starts.
Well, I was more just enamored by the wonderfully ominous intro music that they were doing. There was like some kind of like sexy like pan flute going on, and like in my head, I just wanted them to pan over like a steamy, like, and it was kind of funny too. I thought of like Seattle or Portland, like a steamy, foggy, like pier, and like just kind of a sexy pan out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I love this music.
Yeah, it's like it's like a moist, a mischiefism. I can't even say it.
Moist
mischiefism.
Moist
mischief. That's what a pan flute does for me.
Mm.
That's what it's zaps.
It was great. Yeah, and I put in super disinterested beeper guy. He's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm playing the slot machines. Oh, I get a page. Oh, shit's about to go down. I just won the jackpot. Fuck off.
And it did to a safe house couple, which, not watching the first movie, I assume tied back with the first movie. It apparently did not, as we learned later, because the woman who survives what's about to happen in the safe house.
Spoiler alert.
She clearly doesn't know Richard Dreyfuss or Emilio Estevez. So she wasn't in the first one. Unless they just put a bag over her head the entire time and were like, we're not Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio Estevez. So later, because they knew there was going to be a sequel.
I never made that connection. All the way through, I assumed that she was connected from the other movie. But for whatever reason, I thought that she was still scared of the...
Oh,
like they were... Now, we'll have to see.
Okay.
Maybe she is. Because they set it up like she is... Someone you should recognize.
Yeah.
Thought-provoking, Steve. That did not cross my mind at all. I thought it was just some random schlub who was getting wanted by the mob.
I mean, that would make more sense, like, with the way that she reacted and everything, but... Because I was just completely confused. Like, why is she hiding from these people that she... Are she afraid that they got, like, bought off or something?
Well, there's other problems with that. Her reaction to actually seeing the detectives... but we'll get to that when we get to it, because right now I want to talk about that safe house exploding. And I'm actually really impressed by the way they did that, you know, how the mob hit worked.
Yeah.
79 explosions on a house.
Well,
that was...
They're like, good, from the other angle, we set up all these cameras, we're not going to just get rid of this footage.
We have to have proof that we spent some money on this film, so let's just get as many cameras on this as possible, and then meet me in the back and we'll all do blow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the explosions were great. I love the explosion.
Yeah.
But how they got to the explosion with, like, the guy that's just filling up, like, or draining the sewer line
or something.
And then pizza guy comes, and they're like, who orders pizza at 10 a.m.? But you never find out who orders it. But I assumed it was the guy.
He uses his getaway.
Yeah.
Which is just ingenious.
But they never, like spell it out.
It's a thinker. It's a thinker.
It's
really
great.
Respect their audience.
Yeah. Like,
in this moment.
I was a little bit more concerned. Like, the hit was pretty neat. I was more concerned about the neighborhood in which they were staying. Like, it was a little concerning. Very barren. I actually wrote down it reminded me a lot of, like, the neighborhood from Fallout. Which I've
the
never,
game?
Yeah, I've never really played any of the games, but I've seen enough of, like, the premise and Let's Plays, and I'm like, this is very just not habitable.
Right. Right.
See, I thought it was, like, an Arrested Development, like, the model home.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was, like, what this area was. Like, oh, this is, like, a soon-to-be neighborhood, but before that, they, like, rented out to the cops. So
gotcha.
Like,
I could be wrong, but I feel like... In certain areas of the country where they had just, like, swaths of land. I don't think that's the word you use. But they have swaths of it.
Lousy with land.
They're lousy with land. Like, that's part of the appeal of going there and, like, buying a place. So, for me, I didn't have a problem with how isolated it was. Because I felt like, oh, this house probably just has, like, so many acres of land. Because why else would you have this house?
Yeah.
Why else would you be there?
Right. You're there because you don't want to talk to people. And you enjoy 10 a.m. pizza.
I don't want to brag, but I'm going to.
Could you humble brag?
Yes. So I have the ability, through the power of just being around such great people and just having such a strong connection with the powers in my life, predicted that there was going to be a murder.
Up top?
Yeah.
Or in general? Are you like, there's
like
going to be a murder
within the next
by the end of the
scene,
show?
Within the next scene.
Is this show going to end with a murder?
It might. And it might be you.
Ooh.
Who
the victim
you?
Or the killer?
Both.
Ooh, suicide! Sorry. Guys, are you trying to mail your suicide note? But don't want to get there too fast? Stamps.com. So email that stuff.
Yeah,
give yourself time for the ice below you to melt.
Yeah, and password is not a safe password.
No.
No, but as soon as they started being compassionate and snuggly, and she's wearing a dope fringe jacket, I was like, oh, somebody's dying.
Someone's dying, yeah.
And then we kind of get to it.
So there's an explosion. One of the two people who's there on witness protection, whose name I can't remember, she's in a bunch of movies.
Sandra?
No, she's in, like, you know that she's in movies, Steve.
Yeah, I just had no idea who
she's in. War of the Roses.
Yeah, yeah.
She's great. Great comedic actress.
Mm-hmm.
She might not be one. Well, it doesn't matter. So she gets out, and then you're like, one's hand being me. I bet something's going to happen. And then we go to, I think we are in Seattle.
Yeah, which is pretty.
So it's like that flute
pretty awesome.
was saying,
sexy ominous pants.
Like, don't worry, we'll get to Seattle, baby.
Get up in me, Mount Washington. I want to experience you.
We'll get that sweet, sweet Pacific North Coast.
Mm. It was.
So there's an undercover sting going on with.
Very convincing. In the apparently just the shanty town that is Seattle, Washington.
There are a lot of homeless people. That's for real.
Like,
yeah.
It is valid?
Yeah,
I
watched it and I was
question.
Like, oh, yeah. No, when I was there, I would have had a weird experience of, like, Dave and I were walking to, like, just kind of killing time before our buddy got out of work.
Hey, Mike, who's Dave for the listeners that we have that might be not be Dave? Hi, Dave.
Dave is my buddy, Dave. Anyway, so walking around Seattle, and we hear, like, the rantings of a homeless person, but it's bouncing off all the buildings, so we don't know, like, where it is.
Oh.
So we're like, just walk faster, because it's, like, kind of aggressive. And then we're walking, we're like, oh, I don't know. And then we realize that he was technically in front of us, and we were, like, kind of chasing him.
Beelining it to them.
Yeah. So he might have been a little bit anxious of watching these people, like, scurry to him. So that part seemed real. It had Richard Dreyfuss cleaning up garbage, which, for me, knowing this was a sequel, I was like, maybe they... They kicked him off the force, and, like, this is him cleaning up garbage.
But he was cleaning up garbage in, like, the most cop-like manner possible. Mm. Like,
yeah.
He was... Him and Emilio Estevez were obviously, like, anyone that was in that area could tell. Like,
well, for him, but construction workers have mustaches, so...
Emilio was straddling that wall so hard like a construction bro.
Love that mustache.
Yeah.
Mustache brother.
Yeah, that was an intense screen presence throughout the whole movie.
I have questions. Don't worry. We're going to get there.
Well, they're basically trying to find this guy who's killed a bunch of homeless men. It's kind of a dark place to start. And that's after the explosion.
Yeah, they're
like
going after the Zodiac Killer at this point.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't know. It was that one homeless guy who's like, you killed my friend.
Well, that was another part where I'm probably going to be the guy that's saying this movie is great the whole time. That part, was really unexpected that he pulled out a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For, the whole lead up to certain scenes are predictable as they should be. That part I was like,
that was
a
shocker. Yeah.
And it worked, too, because it showed that they are going to make mistakes, the two cops, and it's going to bite them in the ass. And hopefully no one gets killed.
Yeah, why was there a garbage truck just exclusively filled with food? Like, I was just...
Oh. What you got to realize is Seattle is rotten with food. Lousy with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Swarthy with food. So they catch their man, but not without a shot going off and they take away a homeless guy's gun, which is sad.
Yeah.
But it was the twist. So should we not reveal it?
No, reveal it to us.
All right. The homeless man shot the guy who killed his friend with Richard Dreyfuss's police revolver.
Yes, I had alluded to it, but I didn't. It didn't spell it out well enough.
M. Night Shyamalan.
And they were also in the 1930s for some reason.
Only there were some signs.
Signs. There's a movie with the devil that I don't remember. So they go back to the office and, uh-oh, you're getting a DA assignment from the DA, who is Rosie O'Donnell, who has a... I wrote silly dog. No, that's later. No, there is a silly dog in the office. That's why.
Is there?
The chief of police or whatever, the kid, their captain, has a silly dog.
Oh, yeah. He has a little
dog. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of dog players.
There's a lot of dog in this movie. Mm. A
lot of dog.
And then there was the classic formula. Hey, get in there. The captain's pissed. And I was like, buddy cop. I actually wrote it down in bold letters and exclamation. I was like, buddy cop.
So they get this assignment. They don't want it. Mm-hmm. And we have some fun with the age. Because they make... Dreyfus, the husband who's much older, and Emilio, the son.
Yep.
I got a lot of, like, big brother, little brother vibe from Emilio and Richard the entire time.
Their chemistry is really good.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, I even when it's, like, shticky, it's like, I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because we came off of Stopping My Mom was Shooting. But it was a pleasure to watch.
Hey, Ma, you going to buy me a gun?
No, I'm not going to buy you a gun. I think I'm going to get off the street. That's the my Italian
boy. That's a really good Estelle Getty.
Thank you.
I thought
she
was right
Brandon.
Here.
You're welcome. The greatest Estelle Getty, Brandon. No, it was just a pleasure, and they were doing that thing that a lot of movies don't do enough of, where they're kind of talking over each other in a more realistic way.
Mm.
And this is going to sound strange, in a way like The Karate Kid does, like the way that movie still holds up, because there's a lot of there's realistic natural speech in that. That
the one
shouldn't
sharing,
have to be.
Yeah.
The one Will Smith's on?
How dare you. Get out.
Jameson Pinkston Smith? What's his name?
Jaden? Is that it?
His name's Jammin' on the One.
Jammin' on the One?
Jammin' on the One.
J-Bone Jiggy with it.
They were great. I thought they were a great community team.
It felt like that, like, they had that chemistry both on and off the set, you know, like
they probably did.
Like they were coming back, like, all right, we'll do this ridiculous thing, and we're just going to have fun with it, and that fun translated well on the screen.
I felt watching it that, like, first of all, why have I not seen any of these stakeout movies? And I think it's because I confused it with Cops and Robertsons, which I think has like some S&M thing at certain points. I haven't seen it. I just remember the
commercials. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Well, I think I can. It was a Chevy Chase movie with like. Like a police force has to use their home to do surveillance on the neighbor, and like the family's like way too excited to have cops around, and it gets super weird.
It's a lot of nipple play.
I think I remember bondage gear from like just commercials for it, and I'm like, and then with the Rosie O'Donnell thing and this, I'm like, I don't want to see Rosie O'Donnell in bondage gear, so I just never even.
Well, that was Exit Eden. That was a Rosie O'Donnell
is that
movie.
Legit?
Yeah, where she like so. I think it's another like undercover movie where they go
she
to
shows
like.
Nips?
I don't think you see anything, but she's like definitely in like a cat suit at one point.
That's what I was thinking.
Are you sure that wasn't the 1994 one with Danny DeVito as Penguin? That version of Batman.
Oh,
I know it was Halle Berry, but like maybe Rosie was the understudy.
I often confuse the two.
Yeah.
Have the same physical reaction for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the movie, first thing, why have I never seen these? And also thinking, why aren't these two making movies all the time? Why weren't there more movies with just those two, like, as leads?
Probably because we find out that the depth of character and plot line in this movie is much like that of a 97-year-old cardiac arrest patient.
But isn't that the writer's problem? The actor should be allowed to have a better script. Anyway, so they're going to be... a fake family to do this. Basically, we're going to find that lady in the first scene.
Yeah.
The house blew up. We're going to find him.
The crime boss, can we talk about that very briefly?
Crime boss.
I wanted to see more of him. The like mob leader. He's just laying in bed casually, which is awesome. I wrote down. Where did I write it down? Crime boss. Good hair, zebra lamp, laying in bed casually. Formula for power and a good time? Probably.
And nothing comes of him, right? He kind of gets away with it.
He's got, like, one more call where he's like, did you take care of her? And that's it.
Yeah.
I wanted to know more.
Yeah, because, like, the whole movie is just, like, trying to keep her safe to go to trial. And then we don't really get the closure of that. It's just like, oh, yeah, we went through all this.
Yeah, I wonder if he was in the first one.
Hmm.
With that hair, I hope he was.
I wonder if he was just... his appearance in this movie is deleted scenes from the first one.
Could be.
Because it's like that. It's got that weird like Fifth Element thing where the good guy and the main bad guy are never in the same scenes together.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
That's what happens when you get a union SAG.
A union SAG or the union?
Yeah.
Okay.
When the union sags.
When the union sags.
Over time, every union's going to sag, and, you know, it's just the changes of life.
Yeah, but that's why you buy, like a brassiere to help you. No? Oh, we're
speaking
not
of that. Speaking of home life,
okay.
Richard Dreyfuss is not having a good time in his marriage, am I right? It's kicked out of that marriage as fast as a donkey at a horse show.
Scallop in a seafood ranch.
Yelling.
What? No. What was that? What?
Richard Dreyfuss comes home and then he's getting his shit thrown out.
Yeah.
Like the brother's there and you just.
It's not personal.
And he's like super like gross about it.
Yeah.
Like he's like, you're not leaving. No. Like it's,
yeah.
Like this is borderline abuse.
Yeah, it really is uncomfortable, especially when you consider, like, this is a cop that she's arguing with.
Yeah,
like,
he rips the phone out of the wall.
Yeah.
You get the hint that, like, even if the cops do come, like, he's
yeah.
like, I'm Richard Dreyfuss, guys, I got this.
Yeah, right. But she gave him a dope haymaker in the diaphragm, though.
It's true, but it had to come to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, she's a strong woman, or this would have been a different movie.
She's a strong woman, but also seemingly a little bit unstable. Like, and I'm not saying, like, more unstable than Richard Dreyfuss, but, like,
They're good for each other. I was going to say deserve this.
Yeah, because, like, it really didn't. It caught me off guard. I know nothing about their relationship.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, you know, if you go on what they said, like, they talked that morning, everything was great, and then
right.
all of a sudden it's just like, you won't marry me! So.
Well, the first movie is.
They made love, too, don't forget that.
They made love.
Oh, yeah.
So
sweet,
the first movie takes
love.
Place. Right after that morning talk, and then the whole stakeout movie is just how he fucks it up. So this, if you're an audience member and you saw the first one, you're like, yeah! I made that up. I'm hoping it's true.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I was
just saying with, like, seeing, we've never watched the sequel first on this program, and it was fun trying to, like, piece it together and still not know if we're right.
Yeah. I was just kind of shocked that in one of these movies, especially in this genre, one of the cops had lady issues and it was commitment. It's like, what? Haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
I was just grief-stricken for the rest of this film.
It doesn't pass the Bechdel test, for sure.
I was also very traumatized.
What's the Bechdel test?
What's the one?
Is that the one
like,
that you're supposed to get when you're like 35 and your prostate's going?
That's a prostate exam. I think it's Bechdel. So
oh,
it's
different from rectal.
Yeah, so it's a thing where you look at a movie and you see if they even have a scene with two female characters.
Yeah.
And if they do, if they can go a minute without talking about a man or being in a relationship or whatever, if they can just have a conversation.
Oh.
This movie doesn't pass. No movie does.
Yeah.
No movie does. Maybe the sister of the traveling pants, just because they have pants to talk about.
Well, wow. Okay. Well, this movie did not pass the Brandon test. It is, can you say rock, paper, scissors correctly?
What did they say?
They said paper, rock, scissors.
Oh, get them out.
Exactly.
That's not even a regional thing as far as I'm concerned. Get out.
I think that's like a specific, that island in the Puget Sound. That's how
wow.
they say it there. So they're
yeah.
trying to blend in.
Yeah, exactly.
That pissed me off.
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
Is this when they're moved in? What is the rock, paper, scissors about?
They,
I say it the right way.
This is when they're kind of going into the, they're doing the packing. So they pick up Rosie and
with
her dog.
With their dog.
Yeah, and the two-person sports car.
Can you talk about how bad Rosie is? I know that's part of the joke,
yeah.
but, like, she is really bad.
Yeah.
She's there for no reason.
Nope.
Yeah.
She's bringing a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's asserting herself, like, in terms of decisions they're going to make for their stakeout, even though she picked them because they're the best.
Exactly.
Right.
But she's like, no, we should invite them over. Oh, we should do this. She always has something to add.
I like the back and forth banter they had when they were doing packing. And she's like, I brought four bags because we're well-to-do. And they're like, oh, gee, maybe we should get rid of this video camera. Or maybe this
yeah.
before. I was like, this is beautiful.
That was
guys.
Great.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Or they just picked the wrong car. I mean, if you're a family going away on vacation. Like,
well, didn't they get that car from the police?
From the impound.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
impound, I think this all comes to bureaucracy and how it fails and how papers get shuffled around and they get the wrong car. This is just a classic Brazil type movie where it's...
I did get a very strong Terry Gilliam sort of vibe throughout this. Like, I really wanted to see, like, the making of this movie and all the things that went wrong, you know?
I'm sure a lot went wrong. Oh, but a lot went right, including the humor.
And then we transition into the scene right out of Washington State Tourism.
Beautiful scene.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Like, I wonder how many times they had to be on location to get that much sun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to go to Seattle. That's on my list.
It is great. Like, it's a great place. Like, they have areas in Seattle that are like that. I remember when I first went out to Seattle, my initial thought was like, grunge is so stupid. Like, this one. This place is awesome. Maybe it was worse back then, but I didn't see why they were so sad.
I mean, if I didn't have a pan flute playing behind the beautiful setting of Mount Washington, then I would probably get into grunge music.
Did you say crunch music?
Grunge.
Oh, okay. Because I'm into crunch music.
Yeah, Captain Crunch, he plays a mean flute.
Oh, hot beats. So they move into a house that is next door from a friend of the missing person. And the house that they move into happens to be a judge's house, which that also felt like maybe that was from the first movie. Because it was like a look like Judge's something's house.
I think it was just like, oh, we're in a judge's house. We can't fuck this up. And
we'll
then
have to write all these down and see.
See the first one.
Yeah, or maybe not. We'll just delete that out of the pick-a-chooser.
Pick-a-chooser.
The randomizer.
And I don't know. Just going, like, this is just occurring to me. But if you were on the run from, like, someone and, like, you were trying to expressively avoid law enforcement, and you were going to, like, crash with these people
next to a judge,
wouldn't you think that those people would be hyper-vigilant about the fact that their house is next door to a judge's house, and now there's, like, these strange people coming to use it?
But that's kind of got the feeling throughout this that the couple who lived next door weren't really aware that she was going to show up.
Oh, well, yeah, but still, like,
you would think, like, her showing up, unless she has no other people to connect with, like, would you go next to a judge's place?
Well, I feel like she probably doesn't necessarily know that. I think that's just circumstantial. Hey.
That's true.
But I have a question. We skipped it over. So, Emilio, because I forgot, is his name Billy?
The Mighty Duck Man himself.
Yeah. He has to shave off his mustache.
To look younger.
To look younger.
And
which he does.
The trope that I got was mustache equals penis. And I said, is this true, Mike and Steve? Because both of you guys have mustaches. I do not. And I want to get your thoughts. Like, if somebody was like, hey, you got to shave it, like, how would you feel?
I mean, I have a facial hair not for penis reasons. I have facial hair because kind of a narrow face and no chin. So it kind of helps, like, a little goatee at the bottom. So, like, okay, let's put a little thing there where my jaw would be.
Yeah, he looks a lot less like a bird.
See? And then, like, I've done, like, just the goatee before, and it looks weird. And I got a,
But, like, if you lost the mustache, would you feel like, basically your manhood is gone?
I would feel like a child because I don't know if I have it anymore. I had a baby face for a while, but that's been so long since I've seen my
baby face. I still have a baby face.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a penis thing, but, like, whenever someone else is asserting their will over you, then that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, if someone said, like, you have to shave your mustache.
And, like, if I didn't have a mustache and someone was just like, you have to grow a mustache, I think I would have that same kind of bad feeling.
Yeah, it's gross. We gotta jump into it. But, so, we already talked about, they moved in. The mafia guys are trying to find this lady.
Mm-hmm.
They meet the Emilio and Richard Dreyfuss meet the neighbors through a chance cat and dog chase.
Yes, and did you notice the POV cat tail action that was going on?
Yes.
What I said in my I'm sick, I'm miserable, I have mono state was, that's an asshole point of view.
Because
there's no other place. And we were talking, like, oh, because when you do movies, you have to put the cameras in places where someone could realistically, like, see. So, like, oh, this is, like, where the window is, so we can put the camera there. But there's, like, oh, so this is, like, the cat's asshole. So, they, like, we're, like, looking out of the cat's asshole. It was funny.
It was awesome. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have even realized it was the cat unless he had that little shitty tail, like, flapping around. I was like, okay.
It was pretty funny. And even right from the start, Rose is like, did you invite them to dinner? No, because this is a stakeout.
Right.
It's a stakeout. We probably shouldn't even met the neighbors.
Yeah.
Like, stupid. Just stupid.
Small communities in the Pacific Northwest.
So, day one, there's some There's some scoping out going on. The dog at least is doing his job during the night, waking up Emilio to check out the neighbors when there's some nonsense happening.
Not stealthily, though. Like, these are massive windows, and you have the lights on. Emilio had all the lights on.
Yeah.
Like, just as well as they can see the neighbors, they can see them. So I didn't understand that.
Just shut a light off, Emilio.
Yeah.
It's fine. So we get to the next morning. Emilio's trying to sleep. Rosie takes the dog for the walk to, try to talk to those neighbors. She gets kind of sidetracked on that, and looks like Richard Dreyfuss tries to chase a baseball. I don't know. I saw the silver.
Yeah, there's
basically
a baseball.
Everyone gets distracted, and then they find out, oh, crap, the neighbors aren't there. Let's put a bug in their house.
Yeah.
We don't know how long they've been gone.
Right.
We got to do this. So that happened. And, of course, Emilio has a problem with doors. That's what you determined.
Yeah, his main enemy throughout this movie is doors.
Yes.
Oh, I think you're referencing another point later on in the movie. And I think,
happens a few times.
Yeah.
In this instance, he locks himself out. Because he goes out and he thinks, like, oh, I got to leave. Realizes he's left his gear back and tries to go back in, but it's locked.
Yeah.
So Rosie has to distract them. And then, in doing so, says, you guys have to come to dinner. Which, in that moment, okay. It's not... Before, when she was excited about the prospect, you're like, Rosie, calm down. This isn't how you do a stakeout.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, I felt like, okay, well...
Necessary. A nice curveball.
You have to do it. Turns out, another door was unlocked.
Right next to where he was trying to access.
Which was nice. But now they're stuck with them coming over for dinner.
And you have the family implosion prior to it, which I was, the one thing I picked out from this is she makes a Fred and Barney reference. And I'm like, this is weird because she was in the Flintstones
movie.
When
did she make that?
When she's fake crying to guilt them into staying because they're both going to leave.
During the dinner?
Before the dinner had started, before the neighbors had come over.
Oh.
There was that little fight where they're like,
yes.
Well, you guys don't want to help me and you guys can just leave. And
what was
like,
the Flintstones reference?
She was like, you guys are just kicking around like you're Fred and Barney. It's like, oh.
That's crazy.
Right?
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
Look it, Steve, you're the one that drops knowledge bombs. What happens?
Wow.
Yeah.
During that same scene, the only note I have is, penguin eggs!
Oh,
she made hard-boiled eggs. He's the body of the hard-boiled egg, and then olives, That's creative.
And then the meatloaf armadillo, it's so gross, man.
I feel like I've been to a few of those kind of Pinterest dinner parties that just no good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll give her points for being creative, but what is...
I show in my notebook, it just has like this little doodle and it goes, lost interest in dinner party, and I just took no notes.
Oh, no.
It was just so laborious.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Let's use this point to talk about Rosie O'Donnell's character then. A lot of rolling the eyes and shaking the head, both of you at the same time.
She's like that really nice friend that you have that like she's a good person and you like her, but you like her in small doses, and then you're like, let's go out to dinner, and then you're like, after your first drink, you're like, I remember why I don't spend more than 10 minutes with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's trying, and that makes it worse. Mm-hmm. Like, she wants things to go well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an interesting addition because this is a buddy cop show. And later on, we're going to have to try to identify who the buddy cops are in this. And I don't know. Stay tuned. And now a message from our sponsors. Hey, are you trying to stay tuned, but all you keep hearing is the sound of all those bills you haven't mailed flopping in the breeze? Hey, don't just let those pile up. Pay those bills and send them to the post office with... Stamps.com, you don't have to go to the post office. The post office comes to you. They put the post office on wheels, drag it down the street. By oxen, Dave the Blue Ox. You wondered what he was doing. Well, Paul Bunyan's dead. Now he's moving post offices thanks to Stamps.com. Babe the Blue Ox is what you'll say when you click on the microphone banner at the top of the page and use the promo code COPOUTBABE. And when they don't give you the free scale that you're entitled to, as an American,
write your local congressman.
I give you 3 points to convey to them when they if they do not give you the scale. You tell them first U, then S, then A. Drop the mic emoji if they have that. Stamps.com. So they
Stamps.com, a Federal Express company.
Federal Express company.
Is Federal Express still a thing?
They are.
Oh yeah, FedEx.
Logistics, am I right?
It's like the guy that owns two gas stations across the street from each other, and he's like trying to make it seem like there's competition. Like, oh, FedEx, but also Stamps.com. We all know it's big mail that's running everything though.
And you know,
patriarchy.
I never lick a stamp because that's how the UPS guys get my DNA.
Yeah, well, that's one way they get it.
They catalog it.
Do some recon. In a sense. Plant a bug. Segue. Emilio is over at the neighbor's house planting a bug, while the neighbors are there having a miserable time because I wrote Rosie Cook's weird shit.
Yeah.
But I was so impressed by just, like, the artistry of the penguin eggs that when I saw the meatloaf, what was that, hedgehog?
Armadillo. Cornflake scales. And like, yeah. I just did not look. I don't like meatloaf anyway, but when you present it that way, it just makes me want to stab myself with whatever I have available.
If she had used bacon instead of cornflakes, then maybe.
No. Bacon cannot save that travesty.
And it's so sad because, again, she's trying. So, yeah. Like, as gross as it is, when you take a step back and you realize this is what she thinks
is delicious,
a good
dinner fare.
This isn't a character choice for her as far as, you know, I am undercover, I have to pretend to be this person. This is what she thinks upscale people with, you know, a lot of luggage for their trips do. They make penguins out of food and armadillos out of food. Other things out of were there other things or were those the two grossest?
It was that bullshit ice cream sandwich.
Oh well, that was
ice cream plate. Yeah,
you have the safer dessert. That was a nice little thing, like because I honestly was hook, line, and sinker as far as she must have made some shitty dessert. When they went in the back, like, what do we have?
Ice cream sandwiches.
Which compared to what she already made. Great.
And also, by that point, she was, like, really drunk because, what's his name there?
Oh.
Dreyfus had made her
drink it? No, I know that she coughed and was, like, she'd spit out the gin. It was basically all gin.
It was just gin with a straw.
Well, she had to keep drinking it for playing it like that was her favorite drink.
Right.
I don't know if she did. It would explain a lot of things and kind of make me...
Blowing the covers?
Well,
all the covers?
First, before... Well, yeah, she blew the cover because before she was listening in on the neighbor's conversation, you're like, oh, that's kind of like a detail. And I actually didn't think it would necessarily come back because I'm really shitty at movies at, like, predicting things. I'm just like, ha, I'm an experienced guy. Let's watch an event unfold.
I'm the exact opposite. Where I'm like, what is this in here for? What did this do? What does this connect to? Yeah.
Like, no, I was engrossed.
I'm the guy who, like, when I saw Inception, I had, like, a little board with yarn all over it, and I was like, this connects to this, yeah.
They must hate you at AMC.
Yeah.
Got your little pegboard. Like, I'm sitting in the back. You're welcome.
Yeah, I'd be like, this is my think room.
My thinky room. Well, they have to distract the couple because Emilio doesn't get back very quickly because he gets knocked out.
He got
tied to a chair, put a thing on his head, and it turns out that the lady who is missing... is not missing. She's been hanging out at their place. What are the odds? Because, you know, Seattle is a long ways from Las Vegas. A long ass way from Las Vegas.
I enjoyed that he had a tea cozy on his head.
That was nice.
Which was a nice kind of tie-in to the other, whatever that guy's name is.
Dennis Franz?
Dennis Franz.
Because he was in Snatch with the tea cozy guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you see Snatch before?
Nope.
You'd love it.
Oh.
But there's a part where someone gets captured and they have a tea cozy on their head just so you don't see their face.
Well, that's fantastic.
It was fantastic. What was even better was the usage of that knowledge of the neighbors. Dropping it like... It was some, like, gossipy shit, right?
Like, it was like, your friend Nancy's a bitch and I don't like her and they're getting divorced. No, you need to work it out. No, you should just leave. Work it out. Leave. She's like, well, Jake bears half the responsibility or whatever it was. Gasp.
How do you know Jake?
And what does Shay say?
She says, I'm a psychic.
And at this point, that must be the most believable thing.
Well...
Explains so much.
halfway through, the couple that lives next door, you kind of get a sidebar with them. They're just like, fuck these people. They're nuts. We need to get out.
Well, yeah.
So that was a good play. Like, I think they got out of it in a good sense where it's just like, well, this bitch is crazy. I'm sorry, sure. Rosie O'Donnell. You're not a bitch. That was just, it was a thing I was doing. I apologize.
Your and character is nuts.
Yeah.
Before they actually decide we're going to eat this shit and leave, because they're like, I think they have a sidebar with them, like, let's
be polite,
be polite.
Then they'll probably bring it over.
And then it turns out that Richard Dreyfuss's wife calls. Because
mm-hmm.
she tried calling
Girlfriend.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
Girlfriend. Sorry, I'm jumping to yet another Stakeout, which is the movie I'm hoping exists.
Please.
So Richard Dreyfuss's girlfriend calls and is upset about the commitment issue. And, of course, Dennis Strauss, he can't... I don't think that's his name. Has to... you don't hear Richard Dreyfuss's side of the conversation and things. Uh-oh. Richard Dreyfuss is cheating on Crazy Rosie O'Donnell. That makes me probably respect him more because she is nutso. And also because he was kind of like a dick and like a misogynist when defending the dude.
Well, I mean, in Rosie O'Donnell's defense with this dinner party, like, she was trying to, you know, at least engage in conversation.
Yeah.
And the things that he was, like, bringing up with his wife were not appropriate for, you know, meeting new people. Because
yeah.
he doesn't know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Dennis Farina.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, Farina, that's a grain that is very popular right now.
Really?
Mm.
Farina?
Yeah, it's kind of like rice.
Rice? How is it like
It's
rice?
Like rice and quinoa. It's like, it looks like rice and quinoa if they had a baby.
Yeah,
Farina.
What was it taste
we
like?
We let that dirty love blossom. So that happens.
I asked a question.
What was your question?
What does it taste like?
It tastes like rice. I think it's also the base of like cream of wheat.
See? Satisfying conclusion.
Yeah. Farina is a cereal food frequently described as mild tasting, usually served warm and made from cereal grains. See? Boom.
Boom goes the dynamite.
You're welcome, guys.
The dinner party... Thankfully ends. I don't know about you guys, I'm not really good at awkward scenes in any sort of fiction. I'm not great in reality either. But I guess because I just empathize with people too much in movies, I guess. When there's awkward moments, I'm like literally like...
Cringing?
Yeah.
That happens to me too.
Even like, I remember as a kid watching like Full House, and there'd be like, uh-oh.
Uncle Joey, Red Wings, and like,
I just feel embarrassed for him.
Yeah.
there's a woman. She's a present. She's like a commentator on NPR, like Boston NPR,
okay.
And she talks about this how she can't watch sitcoms because she empathizes too much with the situations that are happening.
The situation in the comedy.
Right, and it's like it's too much to handle. So
yeah.
You know,
just like the situation from Jersey Shore. Too much to handle.
That is way too much to handle.
Grenades.
But like if Steve Urkel like makes a fall in front of a class and the whole class laughs at him.
Oh, she's like, oh.
And they do that music like, meh, blam. And I'm like, oh, I can't. Or like, I can't remember any of the kids on Full House. So.
Danny Tanner.
Staffy.
I almost said Danny Tanner. Like, I think that's the dad, but Steve said it.
There's Michelle.
What's the middle one's name?
Stephanie.
Staff.
When Stephanie seemed to get a lot of crap.
And then there was the young one who Kimmy Gibbler was friends with.
Yeah, the DJ.
Yeah, what did I say, younger?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just hungry. I flip
you. No, who else is probably hungry? Emilio Estevez, because he's tied to that chair so long. Am I right?
Yeah, he's been fighting doors left and right at this point, right, Steve?
The neighbors come back. Obviously, they know that the girl on the run is there.
Mm.
They're not surprised. Uh-oh, someone came in, tea cozy on their head. Don't know it's the neighbor, so they assume that it's a mafia guy that's going to try to kill the girl on the run. So we're gonna kill this guy first. We're gonna drive out to a pier.
Mm-hmm.
Just disturbingly okay with the fact that their friend was just going to take this guy with their knowledge and then go murder him.
Right.
In their car.
Yeah.
Like she's going to use a car to drive a guy.
I mean, because up until this point, you kind of have this illusion, or you just have this thought, or at least I did, that the neighbors were pretty much normal-ass people.
Right.
They just have this nice vacation home.
Yeah.
They, like, have their normal marital issues, but they're pretty normal. And then they're like, yeah, fuck it, go murder that guy. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's weird.
We got this house somehow.
Yeah, that's true.
We understand.
No, he used to live in Vegas, too, though. So that's where you kind of got... They mentioned that, oh, yeah, we lived in... And the dinner party comes out. They lived in Vegas 10 years ago. So you kind of get the connections with them and...
Yeah. Filth.
I don't know. He could have a... Jeez. Yeah, he could have a background.
Sorry, Vegas.
I have no interest in ever going to Las Vegas.
Sorry. Me neither. Thank you.
Yeah.
No one here, right?
No.
My parents went on one of their, like, anniversaries. My sister and brother-in-law went. And they're like, you should go. We'll pay for your plane ticket. I'm like, I'm not going to go. It just doesn't seem... I don't gamble. I don't drink. It doesn't seem very appealing to me. And they came back like, oh, you would have loved it. Just walking up and down the boardwalk, whatever the hell they call it. The strip. Yeah. We all got that strip. Simultaneous strip. And then I pulled my sister aside and was like, would I have liked it there? She's like, no. You have a day of looking at buildings and then it's like...
Apparently, like, just because prostitution is legal, specifically, like, in Las Vegas...
Yeah.
And, like, there's just tons of strip clubs. They just have, like, just little postcards or little flyers of handouts that are just, like, basically half-naked and fully naked men and women. Yeah. And they're just, like, littered all over the street.
Yeah. But littering wasn't the crime that this lady was going to commit. Killing it. I'm killing it.
Just like she was trying to.
Thanks for saying good. There's Emilia Estevez. So here's the part. I think we talked about it before, how weird it would be if she was from the first movie and didn't recognize Emilio and Richard Dreyfuss. Here's where it gets weird for me. So, Rosie and Richard Dreyfuss, I call him by his full name because I respect him. Sorry, Rosie.
I think his name in the movie is Chris.
Chris. They go and they follow her to where she's going to kill Emilio Estevez. Yeah. They stop it from happening. They fight. They take the gun away.
She's a bad shot, by the way.
Bad shot.
Horrible shot.
But that makes me like her a little bit better. We're talking about the lady on the run, right? Mm-hmm. Not Rosie.
Yeah, she's not a hardened killer.
So they get her. They capture her. They put her in custody, safe for her own safety reasons. The car, they do some hijinks with the car where it collapses. But don't worry.
We almost saved it.
I enjoyed that.
It was great. It was great. And it was in keeping with their banter from before. So all that happens, and then later on... She's not going to recognize these guys that were... Because there's a scene where, after this, the lawyer tells the mob boss, okay, we got him. The lawyer's dirty. We didn't talk about the lawyer too much.
I didn't make that connection until he got shot at the very end.
Oh, no, he was talking with the mob boss at certain points earlier.
Yeah, I didn't make the connection because I assumed that most of those dudes looked that way in the 80s. I assume this is set in the 80s.
I was like, Brandon reads into stuff to see what's going to happen.
Not this one. This one really pulled me out, the rug from my store.
Well, basically, the lawyer tells the mob boss. The mob boss tells the hitman, who I don't know what the fuck he was doing because he had to get told.
Yeah, what a shitty hitman.
Shitty hitman. And basically,
shit, man.
The lady on the run is in the custody. She knows Rosie O'Donnell is the DA now. Because Rosie O'Donnell's in that same office, and she's privy to the conversation. She's actively engaging. So Rosie O'Donnell is a good person that is part of law enforcement.
Well, the district attorney is not part of law enforcement. They're part of the legal system. So I'd like you to back that up and rephrase it.
Let me rephrase it. Rosie O'Donnell has a dog. Do they not have a dog in the legal system?
No.
Let me rephrase this. Rosie O'Donnell has a valid driver's license.
Doesn't make a part of the legal system. She's
not illegal.
A permitted driver.
Not permanent. You got to re-up it.
Permitted. Not permanent.
This is the type of misunderstanding that I'm talking about. So as much as this is funny, at least it's not there's no bad consequences. She doesn't recognize Emilio Estevez, the character. I would recognize Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
But Emilio Estevez and Richard Dreyfuss doesn't recognize them, or actually does recognize them, but just as the bad guys.
Yeah.
And doesn't make the connection, they were with the woman who I am now entrusting with my life, along with these other cops.
She's in a stressful situation.
I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
But now that you say that.
Yeah, it was confusing.
This is the only flaw in this movie.
And
I picked it apart. but what the frig?
I don't know. Maybe she thought that they like got turned, like they're dirty or something.
Maybe.
Or like, you know, the shaved mustache like threw her off.
I don't know. It's just that part just always confused me.
Yeah.
But whatever. They only come by because they see someone in a very nice car that can't be a cop.
Yeah. They said, ooh, Corvette or something like
that. Yeah, it's like, that's a little too fancy.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit before that, Rosie's dog gets out because of that dumb cat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, screw this. I'm packing. I'm going home. I'm going to make love to my girlfriend, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Dog runs off. They see the car. They're going to save. They're going to save her. But then what does she do? She says, these guys are bad. Cops that I know.
Mm-hmm.
These are bad cops.
Shoot them in the face.
Shoot them in the face.
Copper. I would argue that the two gentlemen that were there to, as the protection, air quotes,
right,
for Rosie and the witness at this point were probably better candidates for buddy cop film than...
Oh, we'll get to candidates for buddy cop. We'll get there. So there's a gunfight, and it's also tied with misunderstandings, which is a lot of this movie. It's like, who are you? Who am I? Who's this? So they mistake Richard Dreyfuss as being a dirty cop, and they're shooting at him.
And then they're like, he shoots back.
He has to shoot back. You have to defend yourself.
And I like their logic. They're just like, they're the good guys. Like, why are they shooting at us then? Because you were shooting at us.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Guns don't solve problems, guys.
Yep. Triggers don't pull guns. Guns pull triggers.
If you want to write your congressman about making stricter gun laws, then, you know, why don't you write that on a piece of paper, stick it in an envelope, and are you going to...
Don't put your DNA on it.
Are you... What is that? You got your walking shoes on? Are those your post office walking shoes? You got to walk in the post office? What is wrong with you? Don't you know there's a computer? Did you know that you... This isn't high school anymore! You don't have to go to a computer lab to get internet! You go to your own iPhone and you go to stamps.com! Who are you gonna be able to have
Stamps.com?
Damn it, Sheila!
Click on the microphone on the top and put in Damn it, Sheila, and you'll get 10% off your next order.
10%.
10% off. And if you don't,
take 20% off for not trusting Sheila.
Just take it.
Yeah.
Just take it. The world's your oyster. Take it.
No one's going to give you anything.
Anyway. Did you have too much root beer today, Mike?
I'm so hungry.
Yeah. We'll solve that problem.
So anyway, we come to this part where there's a delightful misunderstanding with gunfire, but no one's getting hurt until Bald Hitman comes.
Right.
And that's when it's serious.
Uh-huh.
Bald Hitman... Does he kill the cops or just injure?
Yeah, no. He tore apart that little complex like the Hitman guy from the Hitman video games.
Who's also bald.
For sure, yeah. Like,
probably was, you know, inspired by this
sniping
character.
Dudes. He sniped a dude. Well, first of all, he shot the white dude in the chest. He's like, oh, I'm hit, but I'll be okay. Then just dies.
Enough,
he just
like,
dies.
You don't. I'm sorry. You don't hear this enough where you're like, hit the white dude. Like, you... That was nice.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Identify white people, by the way.
And then he shoots
like
his partner from point blank behind the back.
Yeah.
Which is also amazing because it's a high-powered rifle and that would just rip through him and probably hit everybody else. Collateral damage style, but whatever. Who's really monitoring that?
Kills that lawyer.
Yeah, and that's when I found out he was dirty.
That was not really hard for you.
Yeah, he was like, hey, nice to see you. Boom. I was like, oh, he was dirty the whole time.
I feel like that was a bit of an inferiority complex because this hitman, whose job it is to find people, did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fucked that up.
A lawyer had to call it in. You know how stupid he must feel? Your boss calls you up and says, hey, Toby in the mailroom, he found where you left that report. He found the Anderson account just laying around. He found it. The one that was up to you. You know what you should have done with that report instead of walking down the mailroom? Why don't you go online to stamps.com? Then you can weigh that Anderson report and know how much postage to put on. And then you just print out pushes in your regular printer at home. Freaking dummy.
Stamps.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and put in Anderson Report 12 to get 12% off your next stamps.com order.
And a free Anderson report! So anyway... This guy comes in and is actually one of the few competent people in the movie. Bang, 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 bang. But luckily Richard Dreyfuss is there.
He was dropping cops like the rhinovirus college students. Chipotle written all over the walls.
Nice. This is another door moment, right?
Yep.
I don't remember it exactly, but I remember you being like, yay!
I forget what it was, too, because like I'm trying to picture where the gunfight took place. It was like...
I think like the hitman went out this exit.
Yeah.
Oh, there's two doors that were adjacent to each other for some dumb reason.
Right.
Like, in the same place.
It was like, no. This.
Yeah. It was the wrong door.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
I don't know.
No,
he's right.
I thought he vindicated himself.
I didn't understand the floor layout. We need to talk to Bob Vila.
We'll talk to it. We'll talk about it.
There's like a glass balcony. Like, that just seems extravagant.
Too many doors in the vacation home, guys.
Yeah.
So anyway, the woman who is on the run, the missing woman, gets away a bit, but then now Rosie O'Donnell is basically the hostage.
Don't forget that she jumped down maybe two flights of stairs and kind of messed up her ankle,
but at least she's away from the killer for now.
Yeah. She got the full metal slug. Full just slugging it.
Then Rosie gets captured and Richard
very easily.
Very easily.
Like almost willingly.
Well, she's not a cop.
As I've been told.
But I'm pretty sure her internal monologue was, "Run, Rosie." And then she's like, "But he seems like a nice, trusting soul."
Right.
And then she just went into his arms and embraced him.
Yeah. And then thought about what type of shitty food that looks like
other animals. I can't wait to make marshmallow treat snowman for this guy at our holiday party.
That sounds nice.
Mm-hmm. I would eat that.
I would eat that.
With olive eyes, though. No.
So, it's a classic, you know, what's going to happen? Is he going to take the shot? I think I yelled, "Shoot the hostage." They didn't listen.
Mm.
And then, you know, that dog had to come back.
You get vindicated, though.
What's that?
You do get slightly vindicated.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming up.
So the dog jumps,
pushes
the shooter in the water. Does Rosie go in the water, too? I don't know.
She does go in the water, and then he gets up.
This is where my memory's a little fuzzy.
And he whips out the piece because his target is right in front of him.
Yeah.
He aims it at her, and Rosie salmons it out of the water. And like jumps in front of the bullet, and she gets hit.
Salmons it?
Yeah, she kind of leaps out of the water on top of her.
That's
like
a good verb.
Yeah, she salmoned it.
Yeah.
So you get the vindication.
Yeah.
Rosie gets blasted, and then he just goes out like classic, like 80s, 90s movie style, like just kind of his body jilting left and right as the bullets impacted as he shakes.
So did
like
both Emilio and Dreyfus?
Oh, they unloaded, and they have to account for all those bullets.
Oh my god.
Yeah, trigger. Straight Waka Flocka Flame style.
I was watching something where I don't remember what it was. Oh, I think it was
The History of Stamps.com?
It was I think it was our last movie. I watched it with Dan, and we're talking about the stuff my mom will shoot.
Yep.
His response to every stupid thing Stallone did was like, "Well, he's got a careful." So good. So they save the day.
Yeah.
It's fair to say. They save the day.
Although there's no resolution, really.
Yeah, all they did was ensure that she could stand trial.
Yeah, but
I mean, the mob boss is still there.
Yeah.
So there could be yet another stakeout.
There are more than one assassins in the world.
That's true.
I don't know. I went to a pretty prestigious public university, and I'm pretty sure in my Assassins 101 class they said that there's only one assassin. It's like the Highlander minus seven. Was Highlander 7 or 8? I don't even care.
There's a show.
It's some nerd shit. Whatever. Nerds.
Nerd shit.
I play soccer. I'm an adult. I'm a jock. Jock adult. All you nerds out there, shut off this podcast. Go get some sun.
No, we want you here.
No, I don't want any nerds to listen to this.
I do. I want
nerds.
Go play Dragon Ball Z.
You can play Dragon Ball Z and listen to this podcast. It's totally cool.
I know that, Mike, you just want to wrap this up, but I went to the Legoland Adult Night the other day in Assembly Row, which is a really cool place to check out. And I got in line, me and my friend had gone, and, like, I was just talking to her, and then this random kid who was there by himself, pretty much, just turned around and started talking to me about the Ninja Turtles movie and how bad it was.
Oh.
And I was like, "That movie that I saw when I was, like, 8? And he was like, "Yeah, it was so horrible."
Oh, that one?
Yeah, and then he started talking about the Super Mario Brothers one, and then he got into some weird tangents about, like, anime and Dragon Ball Z, and I'm like, "Dude, I don't know what you're talking about," and it was awkward. It was terrible.
I've been that kid in high school where... don't have a personality yet, so you just have like a movie index in your head, and you just refer to it with people as like, "You know this movie? Oh, you do? Oh, then we can be friends."
Yeah,
you know this movie.
Couldn't pick up social cues. I was giving them a very strong "I don't want to talk to you anymore" vibe, and like, without me just outright being like, "Dude, shut the fuck up."
Yeah, you should have just named like things that you like that you wouldn't like. I just love Or even things you don't necessarily like.
What's it like to have sex with a lady, right? And he's like, oh, sorry, that was rude. I apologize. He's probably listening. I'm sorry, bud.
Hey, if you have any hate mail for Brandon, just write it down.
Put it in the microphone.
What? Wait, what are you doing? You're getting on your I Eat Brandon shoes and going down to the post office? Don't you know there's a better way? You can mail that hate letter right to Brandon using stamps.com. Stamps.com. Click the microphone banner at the top of the homepage and write, damn it, Brandon, why won't you be friends with me? And get a free Brandon.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Like
Brandon's going to do that later. That's weird times.
Yeah. I'll probably make a flambe.
Let's finish this movie by saying that it ends with a reconciliation. By saying it ends. Let's finish this movie by saying it ends.
And guess what's back in action? The sexy pan flute.
That's true. For actual sexy times, yes.
Yeah. Why didn't she take him back?
Because he said,
I will marry you.
The third time. So
yeah,
it wasn't a
bullshit
joke.
Proposal. Was like, yeah. I'm a dude. I've said this on the record multiple times. I love The Notebook. It's one of my favorite movies. You need a little romance. Maybe I'm just being, like, dramatic about it. But, like, how are you going to just deal with his bullshit proposals and all his commitment issues and then in the back just kind of crawl back to him and then get married? Like, fuck
yeah.
That.
It's yeah. Like, I mean, a proposal should never be an ultimatum.
Right.
Yeah. So, Steve, you as a guy who's now engaged.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I mean, congratulations. Did you ever ultimatum Aaron and say, hey, you got to marry me because I have commitment issues? Is that how that worked?
I mean, not in so many words.
All right. Did you have a pan flutist around when you proposed?
Oh, God. I had one lined up, but then last minute they...
So, this movie... ends with a reconciliation and a pan flute and a creeper.
Yeah, Emilio's
yeah.
Pan is my last note.
It was. They held it on Emilio for so long.
He's like, ooh.
Yeah, like
he started commenting on it.
Yeah,
which is creepy.
I guess they needed something for Emilio to do, but that doesn't seem like.
Yeah, that's a bad throuple.
Yeah. Ugh.
And then we have the stakeout has been complete. We have no legal outcome. We don't know what happens.
No.
I mean, it would have been nice to just close out with, like, them at the wedding and Emilio being like, uh-oh, and he's got his mustache back and he's happy. And then all of a sudden, like, some shit goes down. They're like, well, we got another assignment. Like,
Emilio's the best man.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Not a question.
Something we didn't talk about, but I loved, and it had to do with the chemistry, was when they were... moving into the house next door. And Richard Dreyfuss says, should I carry over the threshold? That's my Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Can I carry over the threshold, honey?
Oh, so beautiful.
And
yeah.
She's like, no. And then Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio so give each other a look. And they do it. And Richard carries Emilio over the threshold.
Honey, it's beautiful. Oh, my God.
And Rosie doesn't acknowledge them.
Yeah.
And it says something
about the furniture.
And they're like, oh!
Yeah, so good.
They're reacting to her astonishment.
That was so... this is enjoyable. It was so enjoyable. I really like them, like, during the whole movie. And, like, it seems like... I don't know, we just did, like, two sessions of improv. And it seems like...
emotion.
It's emotion. It's saying yes and having fun. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... it was just so, like, cool to watch that. And be like, oh, this is so delightful.
Heartwarming, guys. There's love out there. Find your Emilio today. Maybe mail them a letter. Stamps.com.
That seems so... you should want that end brand.
Well, sorry, Mike.
Jeez.
If you want to apologize, you can write me a letter. Put those shoes away. Go to Stamps.com. Click the microphone banner on the top of the page and write, sorry, Mike. And you'll get a free...
Pair of shoes
to go to the post office.
But they are Crocs.
Guys, Emilio and Richard Dreyfuss are great together. But are they the buddy cops of this movie?
Now, by way of them occupationally, yes.
Sure.
Dynamically, but... no. Okay. It's Richard Dreyfuss and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I think, too.
Yep.
I feel like Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio are so on the same page... that they're just like two halves of the same brain.
Yeah. Two yins to Rosie O'Donnell's yang.
Right.
which makes me want to see the first one even more because, like, did they not get along as much?
Oh, yeah.
And now they're, like, super bonded. Like, this is sort of, you know, what happens after the initial shock of, like, a good buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
And we're
Steve
getting to see that, like.
Steve has his fingers intertwined.
They are clasped.
Right now.
Yeah.
For all of you guys that aren't watching the simulcast.
So are we all in agreement then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So there's no even conversation then. We all agree.
Yeah.
There's not even going to be a debate.
Nailed it.
And we're like Emilio and Richard Dreyfuss.
More time to go campaign for Donald Trump. I love it.
Let's talk about the casting.
Yeah, let's make America great again.
No, the cast, not a casting of America.
Okay.
The casting of this movie. Sorry, was that too real, Steve?
What?
That's what he wants to do.
Make
Donald
America
Trump
great again.
Wants to recast America.
Yep.
I don't even like using his name.
Mm.
Especially in anything that's going to be heard by people.
Call him Crybaby Orange Slices.
This podcast brought to you by the Foundation for Donald Trump, run up by Steve Murphy.
God damn it.
Oh.
I'm editing that out.
Oh, God. I'll just put a bleep.
Yeah.
Guys, the casting of this movie. We've done it for
every bleep
movie.
Everything up until
yeah,
that.
We have.
What's
yes.
That?
Sorry, go ahead.
Up until that. Would you change anything on the casting? Oh, let's just deal with the three main, the principal characters, the
okay.
principal actors. Richard Dreyfuss, Emilio Estevez, and Rosie O'Donnell. Any changes to the casting?
Only thing I would do, I would swap out one Rosie for another. Rosie O'Donnell for Rosie Perez.
For Rosie Perez?
Yeah.
That's an interesting movie. That's a different, like, because she, I picture her as, like, a fast talker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, it's a different dynamic versus mm-hmm. Rosie's, like, I don't know what you call her.
I'd like to see them rope in sass, because they're sassy. And I'd like to see them have to be, like, the unsassy.
I feel like Dreyfuss would have a heart attack, though.
Right.
Because, like, he's already, like, next level.
I'm up here.
Yeah, he's already there, and she's like, boom, boom, and
she
would have to like meet that
back
somewhere.
Back in the day, I was kind of digging how she looked too, so I feel like he'd have that whole like back story where it's like, kind of want to romance her, but I have this. I like that dynamic shift.
Is
by
this
one person.
Pre do the right thing? Or is this post do the right thing?
Well, this is 93, I think, or 92.
Because her breakout role was do the right thing.
Yeah.
So she probably wouldn't have been cast. This was before Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, this was 93.
It's hypothetical, so...
No. But, like, I agree it's hypothetical, but in keeping with hypothetical, is she, like, is this her breakout role? Is this the breakout role? Does she pass up Do the Right Thing for this role? Or is she hot off the heels of Do the Right Thing and needs to switch it up a little bit so she gets cast in another stakeout?
Yes.
Steve, you have opinions. I feel that.
I feel like this would be... the after Do the Right Thing, like, come down.
Yeah.
You know?
I can do a lighter movie, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like Brandon's on it.
And she was also in White Men Can't Jump. Great movie.
Never saw it.
She was one of the love interests.
I just said good to know and I walked away.
Yeah.
So,
next.
you would switch to Rosie's.
Yep.
Steve, were you...
I'm okay with Rosie O'Donnell in this role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoken like...
Jeez, that's all getting bleeped. That's all getting bleeped. They're gonna think that Steve's into some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
It's especially funny because Trump hates Rosie O'Donnell. Like
that's true.
It's
really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
They've had like Twitter beef.
Really?
I guess.
That's such a nice little tidbit.
Take this, Donald Trump. I'm keeping Rosie O'Donnell. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
No, I loved it. So now we're up. To rating this against the other four movies we've seen.
Oh, man.
Okay.
We've seen Hot Fuzz, Starsky and Hutch, Bulletproof, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
I think we've got a new bucket. A new bucket.
What do you mean,
bucket? I don't know why I just said bucket.
I don't know what that
means. We've got a fourth place new.
You think this is fourth place?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the order is? We all have a different order.
It's Hot Fuzz, one.
Yeah, we all
have
on screen paper.
Starsky and Hutch is a solid number dose.
Interesting.
Bulletproof is three. Two and three are very hard for me because they've both been like right there. But Starsky and Hutch played into the genre and had everything that I wanted, so I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go Stop or My Mom Will Shoot at number five, and then this one is number four now.
For me, and I agree, I would say Starsky is over Bulletproof for me. But I just, and I was sick at the time, so maybe that's coloring my view. But I just found it, and I think because also my expectations were super low, I just really found Another Stakeout to be super enjoyable the whole way through. I thought it was paced out nicely. I thought there were surprising moments that I didn't think they didn't need to have parts that I was like, oh, this is okay, this is surprising, and you're actually not talking down to me at this moment. That's cool. I'm gonna put this in my number two, guys.
Whoa!
I heard you want to put that there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write a letter to my congressman about that.
Write it to him.
You wanted it.
It's fine. It's fine. You don't have to give it to me. Stamps.com. I'm all at a price point. Price point that you can't match.
You can't say no to.
What's your Steve? What's your order?
I mean, stamps.com number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one, Dave.
Oh, I forgot that we reviewed stamps.com.
I think we mentioned at the top we're gonna say stamps.com until they actually give us money,
right?
And then
right.
we're gonna send them a bill.
Also, I'm drinking water. I'm staying hydrated out of my hydro flask.
Oh, maybe we can get some hydro flasks.
Yeah, it keeps cold beverages cold for 24 hours and hot beverages hot for 12.
I've heard of this.
Yeah,
I've heard of this. Yeah,
24 cold, 12 hot. It's great.
Speaking of numbers, what's your number two?
Well, okay, so my problem. I'm probably contradicting myself from what I've said past, but like Hot Fuzz, I love it. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It has so many genres.
Yeah.
I was thinking back on it because I recently I'm uploading our episodes up to SoundCloud now,
yeah.
So you can access to that. And I was going through the Hot Fuzz one. I was just like, this is a great movie, but it like does so many things.
Yeah.
Like, is it the best buddy cop movie?
Interesting.
I don't know, because it's being pulled in so many directions.
Oh, right now I'm just going off pure enjoyment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually do think this was an interesting buddy cop above Starsky and Hutch. I give it extra points for being an original story versus a Starsky and Hutch. I can't give Bill Paxton any points. I just can't. He hasn't been on our list, but I'm not giving him any points. You're a buddy cop, buddy. That's what Brandon wrote to me. Good use of the pen. So are you saying, Steve, that Hot Fuzz is not your number one?
I might. Right now, the Steve Murphy of right now is thinking that Hot Fuzz is not my number one.
Interesting.
I'm really kind of on Starsky and Hutch as being my number one.
Interesting.
A dark horse, if
we
will.
Dark horse would be stopping my mom.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Starsky and Hutch.
So I think Starsky and Hutch, and then I think Hot Fuzz, because that's great.
Yeah.
And then I think another Stakeout.
Wow.
Number three.
Bulletproof, and then Stop or My Mom Will, whatever.
Because for all the problems that you think Rosie O'Donnell will cause, she is adding to the conclusion of the movie, the catching of the bad guy. As much as we're like, you know, maybe you should invite them to dinner, it did give Emilio the opportunity to go over there.
Kidnapped.
Well, he did
yeah.
get kidnapped, but then they were able to save him, which is important, but... No, and she was able to stall, and she was able to play her part. And I can't say that there was ever any moment when she was talking that the neighbors thought, maybe these people are cops. She did her part,
yeah.
which was being crazy.
Right, yeah.
But it helped.
Right. And
the dog. She brought that stupid dog that actually helped at the end.
Yeah, so I think that's my order.
And then Bulletproof stopped my mom, too.
Here I go again. That's all I know, but like, we should do our, that should be our outro this time.
I can't use real music, can
you?
Well, we have to figure out what our movie is going to be for next time.
Okay.
Fire up the randomizer.
Do we have
we have it up.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get this next movie going.
All right.
Engage Sandstone.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Theodore Rex.
What
Theodore
is that?
Rex.
What is that?
This is a movie with Whoopi Gold. No, wait. Just pull it up.
Okay, so.
You're going to find out about. Don't even say the
thing. Don't say anything?
No. We normally tell what the movie's about, but Brandon's going to find out. Hopefully he doesn't see the screenshot.
Theodore Rex?
Yeah.
I mean, I have the synopsis.
Okay. I want Brandon's reaction to seeing it.
All right.
Theodore Rex. Oh, God. What is this?
Okay.
This is a dinosaur movie?
What? It's a buddy cop movie.
The future's toughest cop is Katie Coltrane.
Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm back.
And now she's getting a new partner.
His name. Oh my God.
Is Teddy.
It's a dinosaur.
You two solve this case together.
Wait, what? It's a dinosaur.
New partner. I like the dinosaur. Doesn't want to be paired up with
that. He's got the style.
I'm here for a new look.
Step right up.
Push the button.
He's a cop.
Mahalo.
You gotta make him look like a real cop.
I'm expensive.
That thing at the table just clapped at me.
He's got horns for you. It's very normal.
Is this supposed to be the future?
Yes.
Your mind's shut down and your glands have taken over.
And he's got the appetite.
You cannot eat our only suspect.
To come out.
Yes.
On time.
Both.
Chance to watch this movie for real.
New Line Cinema presents.
I would imagine it's free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Can you just slide your butt?
Oh, yeah, what?
That's great.
He's grabbing his tail and
introducing. Teddy.
Introducing. They just say the
character.
Cookies.
You know, like how a fancy restaurant will have a shit ton of cookies at the door?
Oh, yeah. The maitre d' is always like looking at him. You're not supposed to take him.
Good move when he does that.
I can't do it.
You can do it.
I can't.
Up the floor, everybody do the dinosaur.
Dear goodness.
Introducing, like it's a child actor that's got his first break. Oh, well, audience, you are the luckiest audience ever. We're going to watch this movie for you.
So let's just keep this in mind when you watch this. A buddy cop film is a film with plots involving two people of different and conflicting personalities who are forced to work together to solve a crime and or defeat criminals, sometimes learning from each other in the process. So let's see if this film meets the definition.
Let's see if Whoopi Goldberg learns a little something about a dinosaur.
Oh, God. I wish that a brontosaurus would come and stomp on my brain.
Well, that sound means that not only is Brandon's joy over, but our show is over. And we thank you for joining us for Cop Out. If you like what you heard, shoot us a line at copoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we literally have not received a single email other than from the sources where we put our iPod things.
I haven't been checking.
Podcast.
I've never put out an email, though.
That's true.
To the people.
I just want somebody out there to just send us an email, even if it just says hi.
Yeah. Shoot us a hi.
Send us an email, please.
If you're listening to this on our Podomatic page, but you're like, I want to just actually download this, then go to iTunes, do a search for Cop Out Podcast, you'll find us. Or go to SoundCloud, if you have the SoundCloud app. Do a search for Cop Out.
Cop Out Podcast.
Cop Out Podcast. And we'll see you next time when our movie will be Theodore Rex.
Oh, my goodness.
Brandon, you seem pretty dead. Let's get you beat and up and on a wrap.
Okay.
I want you to express yourself. Express how you feel about Theodore Rex.
Okay. Okay. Theodore Rex, what's that shit? I can make shit that's more legit if I put a baby in a bonnet and then I said, let's go and solve crimes and then you'll be dead because what's a dinosaur doing solving crimes? The only thing he can do is dope rhymes, but you can't because you're in a top hit because I'm legit. And you are shit because when your friends are reptiles and chickens, what are you gonna do? You can't rap, you can't rhyme, you can't do anything at all with your little dinosaur hands and the dude looking at me through the window. That's fucking weird. Tie your shoe, weirdo. I rap what I do. Theodore Rex is a bullshit movie. Everybody says, go see it, but I don't say that. That's a weak run. See, I'm too upset. I can't even flow. Stupid.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.